Oh, crazies, what they think about me. Ain't gonna stop because they tell me so. Because 99 miles per hour, baby, is how fast I like to go.
What song is that?
The Walker from Suits.
The Walker from Suits?
Yeah, I just
I don't found know the song that.
Off Suits. And
I really oh, like okay, the show, all right,
so,
all right.
So it kind of goes with somewhat
the TV what show?
I... Yeah.
I thought it was like a Greenback. Isn't it Greenback Boogie or something like that? That opening song or something like that?
Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah, okay. All right.
There's a different one that I found that I felt suited.
I don't like watching legal dramas anymore. The moment you actually get into legal dramas in real life, you don't give a fuck about legal dramas in make-believe life.
Yeah, no kidding.
John, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We got a mutual friend.
We do?
Yvonne.
Yvonne, yes.
When's he going to come on the show?
I don't know. We got to get him on.
I think he's too chicken shit. I want him to be really? Listening. I think he's too nervous.
No, we'll get him on.
He's been on briefly before. He avoided the singing part. It was just the whole beginning of the show was all about it. I'm not doing it.
I didn't want to do the singing at all myself. You kind of forced me into that one, but it's okay.
No, you did great, man. You totally
out
did
of the
great.
Comfort zone is great. That's fine. This is how we grow, right?
Let me share the deets, and I'll let everybody know what we're going to be talking about here. John, it's
Perillo.
Perillo, sorry.
Perillo.
Man, that's what it is. I can't roll my R's. I'm sorry. I can't roll the R's, man.
It's fine. We don't judge here.
Sync Electrical and Home Automation. John at SyncElectrical.com. You can find him on Instagram under two handles. Sync Electrical at Sync Electrical and also at 1222 Consulting. I also want to do a shout out to Chris. Thank you so much for the tea, Reese Tile. I did a roundtable that's going to drop soon, so I'm looking forward to getting that out there. Are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance Program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health, we've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details or DM us through any of the social platforms or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more and consider being a TAP member today. And then today, John, we're going to be talking about electrical,
home automation,
lighting,
some lighting,
the industry, absolutely. Designers, clients, absolutely. The economy, tradespeople. We're going through the whole gambit, man.
Absolutely. I got some experience with all of that. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
Why did you become a Sparky?
I just intrigued me from as a kid. Right from my kid, I saw it intriguing.
Have you ever met a Sparky that's become a plumber or a plumber that's become a Sparky? They started one but then went the other way? Because you know there's such a rift between the two,
there
right?
is, but I've never met.
It's a unicorn.
So it's a good question.
I don't know anybody.
Like I said, I for myself, electrical with automation, I guess it ties in and the lighting as well.
Yeah.
But not to go completely from electrical to plumbing, I haven't.
You choose one or the other.
I believe it's more what intrigues you. Maybe when you're younger or you're older, there's got to be a reason why you pick that trade.
Yeah.
I believe. Hopefully it's not just because of money.
Listen, they both make money.
It's just what...
I think electrical is cleaner. Like plumbing, when you have to deal with service, you're dealing with a bunch of crap. When you guys have to deal with service, you're dealing with a bunch of spaghetti and trying to figure out...
For like you said, yeah, you deal with a bunch of crap, but with electrical, I feel like you got to use your brain. Oh, that's 100%. The part that I like, because of the fact that when you're troubleshooting, you almost got to envision where the problem can be. Right?
Not so, saying the plumbers are not using their brain.
No, I'm not saying that because I respect every single trade.
Yeah.
Because I've worked with my friends that are in different trades, and I ask them plenty of questions. But I mean, for myself, I can only speak for myself, that it really, like I said, it intrigues me what I can make happen.
How young were you when you got started?
I started when I was 18.
So right out of the gate.
Yeah, I did. I actually did co-op in high school. So I started from there. I actually didn't like it too much.
How was the first placement? The employer, the business.
I didn't care for it that much at the beginning.
Okay. Well, was it like, was it a commercial? Was it a residential?
They did more commercial and stuff, but it was a bigger company. Like it's different. It's a different setup.
Okay.
Then I started when I was 18 for a company that, awesome people. I still see him to this day. I still talk to him. And they've taught me so much. And I stayed. I just never wanted to leave there. And the reason being is because I just learned so much.
How long were you there for?
I was there from when I was 18 till when I was 30. And then at 30, I went on my own. And
pretty much shaped you into the business.
Yeah. It did. It shaped me a lot. It made me very particular. Very neat. Very.
What do you mean by so
particular?
Were you
seeing
a lot of electricians that weren't?
Because there were times that he was very picky.
Okay.
As a electrical contractor. So if we saw that you see your BX lines are all over the place.
Yeah.
No, we had these clips that would clip them onto the pencil rods that would make everything perfect.
Yeah.
Seeing that taught me more.
Yeah.
Reason being is I almost see what's happening. I see what's happening. Opposed to it being a mess.
Yeah.
Just took pride. Just some pride in your work.
You see the end result and how you want it to
exactly.
be looked like. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was kind of groomed to be that way. And I took that with me. And I appreciate it because I took it with me.
What's more important to you, John? When you finish a job, what matters that another trade thinks of the work that you did? Or what matters what the client thinks what you did?
I believe the client is paying for a service.
Okay.
And that service that they're paying for, that they work hard for their money. So yep. Clients have to work a very long time to save whatever the number is. It doesn't matter what it is. Everyone's different. And I feel that we should give that level of service and that level of respect to everybody.
Yep.
It's to the client. It's to the contractor. It's to the designers involved. Right down to all the other tradespeople involved. If my work's sloppy and it's a reflection of you as a contractor, now what happens is that client might not refer you to someone else because I made a mess as an electrician. If I made a mess as an electrician, now the plumber lost the job.
Yep.
So it's all a ripple effect.
By proxy, whoever came in first, they left a bad impression. Anybody else that was recommended to come on the job site to do the work, they're already by association. You guys are going to be bad. I don't want you here.
Exactly.
I'll hire somebody new.
Exactly. So it's good to be particular on who you work with. It's very important to...
You got
to
align.
Exactly. You got to get along. You got to have respect for each other. You can joke around all you want. You can make fun of each other all you want.
Yeah.
But that level of respect at the end of the day has to be there.
The construction banter is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with construction banter.
No.
And I don't care if you find it racist, if you find it culturally offensive. I don't give a shit about that. It's just construction banter. We don't take it personal.
No.
We just are razzing you because we care about you wanting to be a part of the team and we want you to do a good job. That's why the razzing is going on. Yeah. We're not talking about doing physical harm to you. We're just like, it's a joke is what it is. It's just in today's time, there's no such thing as it's a joke anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everyone just, takes it so personal.
Fuck, man.
When it's far from personal. It's actually nice because if I'm putting in that time and I'm joking with you,
it means I care about
you. Exactly. It means I actually care. Because if I didn't, I'd just look at you like, okay, like just go do your thing. Like,
so out of the gate, John, you weren't the perfect electrician. You had to become the perfect electrician. You
of
had
course,
to be
of course.
Experienced, right?
Of course.
Do you think the ones that are coming out of the gate today, do they care about being a good trade?
I feel that a lot of people that are coming into the trades are looking at money.
First. And only.
What's the highest paid trade? What's so if
top
you start
three or the hard ones? concrete, bricklaying, roofing.
Of course. Right? Of course. So
but
which,
they don't want to do those.
So now, exactly. So which option do I pick? Where do I go?
Electrician, plumber, HVAC.
What suits my needs opposed to being into something that is intriguing? What intrigues me? What makes
But it's me all driven happy? By the money, right?
Now it's driven by the money. Opposed
How much I can I make?
When I started electrical, I didn't know, okay, electrician make good money. That's all I knew. I didn't know what kind of money.
What was the starting point back then? So you're talking like, how young are you, man?
I'm 40.
Okay, so then you're talking 20 years.
Yep.
So has it doubled in 20 years?
What?
The rate.
The rate as an apprentice?
Yeah.
So I started, I was making, I believe, around $8 an hour at the time.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
What are the kids starting with now today?
They're starting at about 20.
A little more than double? And yeah. They think that's low.
And they think that's low. They look at me like, I want $30.
Well, but they don't have $100,000 in student debt.
No. No, they don't. They don't. And a lot of them, they're saying, register me right away, register me right away. They don't even know. They're so concerned about that aspect opposed to showing me.
Teach me.
I got registered after 2 years I started. But I was learning.
You were hungry.
I was learning. I enjoyed it. I was excited. My days used to fly. We used to put on the music and just learn. Learn different parts. I believe that every electrician I've worked with had different strengths.
Yep.
There were some that were fast moving electricians. There were some that were very knowledgeable, maybe didn't move as fast, but they could find out the issue better than the guy who moved so fast.
Yep.
Right? So, like I said, you pick and then you kind of put it together and it molds you to who you are. Right? So you pick up the speed from this guy, but then the knowledge from this one and the cleanliness and from this one. There's different parts. And then the business part from the owner that had saw different things that you don't see when you're on site. And being, for myself, being from an apprentice to licensed to master to contractor, I've gone through those steps that, you know, it took some time. I was a licensed guy. I'd go get coffee.
Who cares? It's coffee.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I can say that I was doing extremely well. I knew my stuff. I learned it, which is fine. Did I learn everything? No, I'm still learning today.
I love that you brought up the fact that you were looking at it like, who's on site? Who's the strongest regarding this component? Who's the strongest regarding this component? And you're just like, I need to get closer to this person to find out how to learn those details, right? Versus I think the majority of the trades today, the younger ones are going, I'm making 20 today at this place. I could be making 22 at this place. I could be making 24 at this place.
Absolutely.
And they're working that way up. They're not realizing that it looks good on paper right now, the 20 to 22 to 24, 26 to 30, whatever. But they don't realize that if you get that knowledge from this guy, you get that knowledge from this guy, you're going to do this huge jump to like $30, $35 because you got the skills for it.
Exactly.
People, new employers looking at new trades coming in, they're not looking at where you bump from one place to the next and how you had a pay increase in each one. They want to know that you learned how to do panels perfectly, how to bend conduit perfectly. They want to know all the skills.
Exactly.
Then they'll give you the dollar.
Exactly.
But they don't see it today like that.
Nope. They just, exactly like you said, I'm glad you brought that up. They will jump. Someone will offer them $2 an hour more. They jump. I've had big offers in my experience.
And they haven't even learned the lessons from the last person.
No.
They didn't pick up the lessons.
So they didn't learn anything. They're almost like jumping. They're just jumping. So by the time you even get settled into a company and even know a company, you're jumping already.
You're leaving.
So now you've spent your whole career just jumping around to chase a couple dollars. You come to the end. So now it comes to the point, okay, you're licensed. Whatever the case is, sometimes you're going through different things in your life.
Yeah.
I got to settle. I want to stay at one place now. Things happen.
Of course.
So now you're at that one place. You think that that place is going to jump you up. You could be making from, say, 34. You can go higher. They're not going to put you higher. They're going to keep you there. Because that's where your knowledge is.
You got to earn to get higher.
You got to earn it. And exactly. That's a great point that you just brought up. I love the fact that you said that. No one wants to earn it.
They want to be given it.
Exactly.
Just because I've been in this business 10 years and exactly. you've been doing shit work for 10 years doesn't mean that I value your 10 years.
Absolutely.
I'd rather you be 10 years working, hustling, learning. And
exactly.
You go into an interview, I want to hear you talk about how I was at this company. I met a great guy. John taught me all these details and I was fascinated by that. And that's why I'm leaning towards perfecting these details and I'm going to focus on this.
Absolutely.
That whole statement right there has nothing to do with dollar value.
Nothing.
It has everything to do with where my ambition is going to take me next.
Exactly. And when you do put that time in, you respect the trade.
Yeah.
You respect what you do. You've earned your value. You've earned it. It didn't come for free.
Build the future you dream of with Generation Construction. Your home is where life happens, where your style shines, and where your future begins. Whether it's your first home, a space for growing family, or a place all your own, you need a builder who understands your vision and brings it to life. At Generation Construction, they ensure your home is everything you've imagined. Greg, the visionary behind Generation Construction, knows that today's homeowners, they want more than just walls. They want a space that reflects who they are. At Generation Construction, they don't just build houses, they craft homes that are uniquely yours. With a reputation for excellence, trust, and a commitment to working with the best, Generation Construction offers a seamless, stress-free experience that ensures your home stands strong for years to come. Contact Generation Construction today at 705-961-5562 in the Muskoka area and 647-381-0361 in the Greater Toronto Area, or visit them at www.generationconstructionltd.com. For inquiries, email Greg at greg@generationconstructionltd.com. Let's build your dream project together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
You look at the whole business as a in a different, completely different point of view. You got to put yourself in a different position. You got to pull yourself back sometimes and just take a look.
I have this theory, John, that you're 40, you've been in it for 22 years. I don't think the 20 somethings of today are going to be in the industry at 40. I think they're going to be long gone.
I think so too.
I think there's two roads or three roads going on. I think they're all trying to build up a brand large enough that someone else will buy it off of them for a dollar, and then they can jump to something else that they want to do that's not really construction relevant. Could be another industry they want to get into.
So you're saying opening up, like, for example, if you did open up an electrical company, how do you build it to that point? Because now you're a contractor, you're going to tell me, is it all about the bid that's coming in? Is the piece of paper that I pushed in front of you? You don't know who I am.
Yeah.
You don't know my business.
Yeah.
There's a lot of companies I can throw bids in. I can pay someone all day long just to do bids.
My point is that you're not going to see a lot of gray-haired trades that are currently working right now, them being in their 20s. I don't think they're going to be the gray hair trades. I think whatever percentage we have going on right now, because we talk a lot about what percentage is leaving and what percentage is coming in.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to have a really shell shock. You're going to be like, there's nobody retiring from trades because they left trades. They're not retiring from trades.
Yeah.
That's what I think this younger generation, because off mic before we got started, we were talking about that. Everybody is not in it for the long haul. They're only in it for the short game to make as much money as they possibly can and then go to something else.
You know what? I've gone through it too. I believe that it is difficult at times. When am I going to... It feels like it's taking time to reach where I want to be. Knowledge, position in a business, whatever the case may be. It's not easy. There's going to be times that you're discouraged. You got to push through that. If you can't push through that, you'll never get to that next level. So that's the difficult part. They come to a crossroad and they can't push through it.
No, or they don't want to.
Or they don't want to, or they don't have the drive, or society maybe made them feel that it's too hard, or what they're going to look like.
I learned early on, like probably in my 30s, I learned every single thing that involves your life has a beginning, middle, and end. Absolutely. I don't care what it is.
Absolutely.
It doesn't help when you're dating because you try to explain to them. It doesn't matter. This relationship has an end at some point. Whether it's we're old people and one of us dies off and the other person dies, there's an end. Everything in life has a beginning, middle, and end.
Absolutely.
And I think young trades of today don't even pay attention to any fraction of the end. They don't care about it. They care about the beginning. They care about getting in, making a pile of money, and then they just want to get the hell out and move on to something else. They don't want to have a swan song. Like, obviously, there's a legacy towards tradespeople today, which they've been in it long enough that they've built something.
Yeah.
And they see there's value in this, what they've built regarding a brand, you know, an identity and who they are, their skill, their reputation. And that adds to your ending. What's going to be your legacy at that time? They're not looking at construction legacies.
Yeah.
They don't care about this end, man. And that's what scares the shit out of me.
It's unfortunate. It's just, I don't know. It's almost disappointing. Like, it's
because they have this skill.
Is very respected.
Yeah,
you create something beautiful in the end, but you gotta want it. It's really up to you. What you put in is what you're getting out.
How many electricians do you have working with you?
Right now, I got four.
Four. And then obviously they're all younger.
Younger, middle.
Yeah.
Around my age.
I'm noticing that a lot of electricians are like two people teams.
They are.
Them and an apprentice. And then they work them way up, right? And then maybe at some point they get another apprentice.
A lot of things that happen, though, as your young electricians, what happens is sometimes they start learning. You teach them. Then again, like we said, someone offers them a few bucks.
I'm good to go.
Bucks,
I know everything. I'm gone.
A few bucks an hour. Yeah, they think that they're good to go when you just learned a small fraction.
Scratched.
You just scratched the surface. You're not even close to being there. Because what happens when you're in an actual situation? Because now you still have it. You feel like you know everything. Oh, this is easy. But you've never been put in a situation. What happens when you are?
Yep.
Or you got to find out an answer. Something you don't know. We don't know everything as tradespeople. We got to do some research. There's always something new that's going to come out.
There's always going to be a new situation, man.
Always. How do you get past that? That part you got
to
learn.
Who are you going to call? Like, how are you going to reach out to?
Exactly.
You can't reach out to the bridge that was burned.
Exactly.
Right.
What relationship did you build? Because it's all about relationships. I believe it's all about relationships, working with people as a team.
Yeah.
Actually having respect for people. Then you can pick up that phone call and you know what? They might know. And you know what? If they don't, they might know someone who does.
Exactly.
So at least you can get your answer. You can achieve something. But now everyone's burning that. They don't realize that that's all it takes. Why would you get rid of that?
I've had a handful of people work with me when I was in construction, and then they just jumped. They bailed, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. All right, see you later. Ciao. Yeah. But now you've just cut off this line where you can't reach out to me anymore. Yeah. You can't go, listen, Manny, I got a question out to ask. No. If you left on great terms and we're on good terms and we had a conversation about you coming in, working with me, and now you want to get out and you want to move on and try something else, I'm 100% supportive on that fact. And then you can reach out to me anytime. Text me, call me, whatever, DM me. I will answer. I will reply. I will talk to you.
Look at that.
Burn it, I won't.
Of course. But look at that value that that brings you. That phone call?
Yeah. You have this resource, huge. This means. It's,
exactly.
Yeah.
Have the resource.
So that's what I mean, is that they don't care about the end. They don't give a shit. I'm just bailing. Yeah. But what you're cutting off is like paramount, man.
Lifelines.
And in construction, we all need it. Doesn't matter if you're young, old. Doesn't matter, man.
It doesn't matter.
You need it. And also, you're going to be in situations like, what if you buy your own personal house? No one trade knows everything to get that thing done.
No.
So you're going to need to reach out to people.
Absolutely.
When did you start the home automation side?
I started that 7 years ago now.
7 years ago.
I started getting involved in the home automation.
It was still, it was up there. People were.
I started about 7 years
clients ago. Clients were justifying spending that extra cost. They are. Because it is such a big ticket extra cost.
I feel that it's becoming, it was a luxury.
Yeah.
It still is a luxury. So it's becoming a need.
Yes.
Right? Before it wasn't a need. Now I feel like it's almost becoming a need. Just based off, like I said, society's changing. People are changing.
Is it more a need for their life to be simpler, or is it a need to show off to the Joneses?
Both.
Unfortunately, I don't like anything that's about showing off.
Unfortunately, both.
So when they have friends over for dinner, they'd be like, look at this. We could listen to music in look the closet.
This. Not Who even gives that. A Just fuck? Look at this. You don't see the speakers.
Yeah.
They're invisible. it's not even a not the fact that, you know, then you get the people that do appreciate it. So you can't say both. There's both. You know what? At the end of the day, you can't say just it's all about showing off, because it's not.
No. But it's not all of it.
But that's with anything.
Yeah,
that's true. With anything.
Anytime you do any
reno. So at the end of the day,
yeah,
you could do an amazing reno and have the coolest feature wall. So they're going to say that's, wow, look what I did to show it off. Or are you appreciating that feature wall?
That's the last living species in Brazilian rainforest that nobody ever has. Exactly. We took it. It's in our living room
right now. Exactly. They'll tell you the whole story. You know what I mean? So to compare, I wouldn't just say about the automation. No, I'd compare. It's like anything else.
A lot of this stuff is actually very, very necessary. I think it's contributing to. I like the fact that you're getting older people thinking about, you know, making staircases wider, making door openings. Well, I always hated the fact that, you know, OBC, the construction was always a 24-inch door entry into a bathroom. That makes no sense whatsoever. It should always be bare minimum 32 to 30. Like, I think 32 is the magic number that should bare be. Minimum. That's what I think it should be, because it gives you the option of getting wheelchairs in there. We're all going to get older if we're lucky.
Yeah.
So if we're going to get older, at that point, your house is paid. You don't want to move. You definitely don't want to go into something that's only one floor. If you're not a bungalow person, you don't want to be carted off into a living casket of a home service place, right? Like, you don't want to be doing any of that. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff is really functional at home.
It is.
Right?
It is. You know what? Even getting older and having the automation, you're making things happen with a push of one button, opposed to, you know, I forgot to turn the TV off when I'm already down here. And it's like, as you get older and your abilities change, maybe, you know, you can't, it's not as easy. You can, but it's not as easy, say, to walk to the other side of the house or whatever the case may be. So you can easily turn it off from your phone or from a tablet or from a push button in a different room. You got to your bedroom, maybe there's an off button that turns off the whole house.
Yeah.
So now you know everything's off.
Yeah. 10 years ago, I was big on night lighting.
Yeah.
I hated not having little lights in certain areas.
Yeah.
It's gotten a little ludicrous now, because now you're accenting every friggin' thing. I don't need to see a light on every single tread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But a nightlight in certain areas, so then if you have to wake up in the middle of the night, you have to go to the bathroom or something like that, you're not dark blind.
Now, even though, like, so for example, you don't have to have every step. And that is happening now quite often. Do I like it? Yes, I do personally. The reason why I like it is because I can do different things with it through the automation.
Yeah.
So, for example, like you said, it's a nightlight. I can have them all wired, but have every other one stay on throughout the night at 20%. So it automatically happens. So I can keep that on. So it won't affect you if you have kids and family in the house and everyone sleeps with their door open. It's not a bright light coming out of the staircase through your hallway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it's different at the same time if you get up and you want to walk to the bathroom or go downstairs and grab a drink out of the fridge. You don't have to touch anything and disturb anyone.
Yeah, you don't have to disturb anybody. That's why I was, like I said, 10 years ago, I was big on doing accent lighting and little details for nighttime.
Yep.
And same with bathrooms or key kitchens as well.
Yep. You're right. 10 years ago, it was...
People weren't really thinking about it. Like, I was in the kitchen area, I was fighting where the reset light should be in the ceiling. I was fighting designers, I was fighting electricians, because most electricians, you probably know this, they want a symmetrical pattern on the ceiling.
Okay.
I want functional lighting.
So there's both. So there should be both. And respects to both. Contractors, designers, and lighting consultants. So there's a lot to lighting and spacing of your lighting with your task lighting and your decorative lighting.
Yep.
Spacing's a big part. Does it have to be symmetrical? No. And at that point becomes design. But at the same time, there is a certain... spacing, depending on the height of the ceiling, depending on the size of the room, depending on what room and what pot light you use, what recess lighting you use, that'll determine the spacing, the angle of the lens, that'll determine the spacing of it. So to say there's a right answer per room, no.
It's custom.
It's all it's custom. Design. If you but really my want thought to get process to that point.
Starts with the function. So there has to be a task light for the stove range. It has Absolutely. To be a task lighting for the fridge.
Absolutely.
Has to be one for the sink. But in a design element, those aren't perfectly balanced in positions.
No, they're not. But you can make it happen.
Yeah.
You can make it happen using different types of lighting. Maybe using a different size pot light.
But you'll get some electricians come in and they'll be like, all right, the room's 12 feet and it's 20 feet long. That means there's going to be a pot light there, a pot light there, a pot light there, a pot light
exactly.
there. And I'm like, that's not how this room works, man.
No,
exactly. That's not how it works.
Exactly.
Like when I'm during the daylight, I can see the pot lights. I can see the recess lights. But at night when I need to use these lights, I need to see the light. What's the light doing? I don't Absolutely. Care about what the fixture looks like at nighttime. I need to see where, and you're right, the ceiling height, how far of a spread, what kind of recess.
There's recess.
I've argued over and over, I can't stand the pancake recess lights.
Oh, neither can I. I'm so glad you said that.
They're the ugliest things that have ever been invented, and I think they were invented by the laziest electrician.
You realize that they just light up the ceiling, right? They do not light up the floor.
They don't cast anything, eh?
Nothing.
They're ugly as hell.
They don't cast anything. They
Everybody like was
a,
popping.
They look
in.
Like a shower trim.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, "That's the ago. Ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life."
I
and they really, loved it.
All really, the really loved do it. Not like installing them. I really advise, from my experience, not only are they do I feel that they're ugly. That's my personal opinion, which is not what I base my decision on.
Yeah,
it actually has no purpose for me besides lighting up the ceiling. You know, we're kind of trying to take that away considering there's trimless pot lights now. There's so many different types of gimbals. There's so many different types of trims.
You don't remember kitchens that had T-bar ceilings that were all light, eh?
I do.
You remember that
I
shit?
Do because I've taken some out.
When I first
With
saw
the fluorescent
that?
Tubes?
Oh, man. When I first saw that and someone was so proud of it and I looked at them and I was like, dude, that's like, get rid of that. I can't stand that. Yeah. And the pancake lights today, I think that's the equivalent of that crap.
I agree. And I think there's a lot of it is because they're price driven. They're really cheap.
But they're shit.
They are. But what's happening is a lot of electricians do not know what they do. It's a pot light.
They just do it.
It's a pot light.
Consider expert plumbing and drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Bolin and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years, and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes. It's about delivering the best possible service every single time on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Yeah, that's how it's defined.
It's a pot light. I can show them 3-4 different pot lights, and it's whatever the supplier is pushing. So if you go to one supplier, they're pushing a certain brand.
Of course.
And a certain
Because product. The rep is pushing them.
Exactly.
And I'm like,
you the rep's well pushing them. But there's no there's no real reason.
A supplier should be asking you, what room is this? Do you have floor plans? Do you have a layout?
Well, a supplier's not doing that usually.
No, but they should be asking you that. If you're asking their opinion about what light should I be recommending to the client, designer, whoever is on that grocery list, that supplier should be asking you, what room is this? How tall is this? How big is this? What's the purpose the clients are looking for? All these questions before they recommend a light.
Absolutely.
Because isn't that what the lighting stores do when you're buying an actual fixture?
Yes, when you're buying a fixture.
They ask you those questions.
Depending on obviously the lighting store, but They're going to ask you the size of, say you're putting it over this table.
Yeah.
I need to know the size of the table.
Yeah.
I need to know the finishing, if it's even going to match.
What type of wood, stone, metal, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If it's going to match your room. If there's a super modern room, I'm not going to put a super traditional fixture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm trying
to say?
Crystal. Exactly.
Yeah, right?
So there's all different parts of it. There's all different questions. How high off the table should it be? Should the fixture drop?
Let me ask you this, John. I've always had this discussion. Pendants over kitchen islands.
What about them?
At what height should they be positioned?
32 to 36 inches.
Above the surface
the surface of the island.
So normally an island is about 34 inches tall, around 34 to 36, depending. Yep. And then you want to go another 3 feet on top of that.
32 to 36.
So basically what it means is that if you're a 6 foot individual, you're just below the bottom of the pendant, your eye line.
Just below.
I can't stand
so
where they put it too low.
No, they shouldn't.
And then now you're doing that whole
exactly
talking to somebody.
That shouldn't happen. If it's placed within that distance, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And it depends on your ceiling height. So that's another thing. So if you have a higher ceiling, the size of the height of the ceiling, the size of the island, like I said, the type of kitchen to select if you want something contemporary, traditional, transitional, modern. So that would help. Also, depends on the client. Know your client. Some clients want something that's very bulky, bigger. Yeah. I can give them my advice.
Yeah.
And what's in on trends from my experience and from talking to clients, but I can also give you an option based on your feel, what you like. Sometimes when I could put three big pendants, you just spent, I don't know, $100,000 in your kitchen. The pendants blocking your whole view of your whole kitchen.
What's the rule of thumb on the island? Because there isn't really... It's not tasked, it's a fixture now. If you've got a 10-foot island length,
yep,
three pendants, two pendants.
So three pendants, smaller pendants. Two pendants, maybe a
larger
little bigger
pendants. Okay.
Right? I don't like bulky over the island. I feel that it takes away from...
I agree.
Your kitchen, I don't like bulky fixtures on an island.
Yeah.
I
don't want this huge China hat.
No. I feel like there should be something that's just... gives you some light over your island, because that's all it's going to do. It's not meant to light up the whole room or anything around it.
Yeah.
It's meant to light up the island. And at that point, after that task and functionality is there, like you said, you still need the functionality. I don't want to work. I don't want to be
islands
on
are used
my
for
island.
What? Primarily for prepping meals,
exactly,
and then presenting meals,
exactly. So you need some sort of light, something,
yeah,
on top that actually focuses on the island, opposed to pushing out. I like doing that. And then, like I said, for me, it depends on, there's so many different fixtures. Some fixtures are made, they let it more on top.
Mm-hmm.
Do I agree with it? Not really, because I don't want to light the ceiling. I like three below, but it depends. But at the same time, if you have finishes in the ceiling, so if you have crown molding,
details,
whatever, details in your ceiling,
yeah,
then at that point, maybe, yeah.
What's the rule of islands now? Have they gotten rid of the receptacles now on the islands?
No, they're still there.
So there's still, but there was an argument going on that they're trying to get rid of them because now what's happening is people are plugging in appliances, mixers, i.e. whatever it is, but the cord's getting snagged, right?
Yes.
So now where do they expect to put the receptacles?
We're putting them on the end of the island.
Yeah, so it depends on the size of the island. It's like, what is it? If your island is greater than 4 feet, you need two receptacles. So you have one on either end. What's your thought on, because I've been seeing some, I don't know what I want to call them, monkeys, whatever. They're putting the receptacles on the underside of cabinetry around the perimeter stuff. So they don't want to see the receptacles on the backsplash.
Do I like it?
I don't like it because you now have to look where to plug.
We've done them. It's more of a design aspect.
They don't want to see it on the wall.
Just because they don't want to see it on the wall. A lot of times, depends if you're an individual or a client that likes keeping a lot on your counters. And it depends if you're a client that doesn't. sometimes there's people that have clutter all over their kitchen counters. There's people that don't. Yeah. So you pick the type of person that they are. You can, the person that's putting it underneath, there's a good chance they're not putting anything on their counter.
So they just use it for the task that they're
doing. So they're okay to go and plug underneath.
Yeah.
And they don't care because they don't use it all the time. So it's not, you know what I'm trying to say? It's
I know what you're saying.
It's not like they have to.
It goes back to the person. It goes back to the client.
Back to the client.
And how they want to use their kitchen.
Exactly.
Nobody really thinks about how to use their kitchen until they start remodeling a kitchen.
Of course.
Because they've been so used to the way they've been using their kitchen, the old one.
That's why we get it, as being in the industry, and as contractors, we have to ask our clients, right? And our designers that are on the jobs, if there is a designer or not, have to ask those questions. You got to be prepared. If we're not prepared, we can't give them the best outcome. For both ways.
I want to go back to accent lighting. Everybody's going ballistic. Everyone's doing LED strips now.
They're everywhere.
It's too much?
Depending on the design.
I think it works really well. I don't think it could ever be too much if it's a very contemporary home.
Yeah.
I think if it's a traditional home, I think you have to be a little more
cautious.
Yeah. I think you have to kind of play with things.
They're more hidden.
Yes, because you could actually do crown reveals and have a little gap and put a light there. So it's indirect light at that point, and I like that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But I think that people are going a little ballistic on lighting.
Because they're using them as their actual task light.
Yeah, which is not the purpose of them.
That's the difference, right?
Yeah.
So when you are doing that, I believe that you should be using a higher grade of tape lighting. Because
what's a higher grade?
There are so many different types of...
Well, there's containers of stuff coming from Asia all the time.
Absolutely. So depending on the brands, I don't want to mention what brands or what names, but there are different brands that are not great. And then there's some in between and your higher end brands that one won't burn out. They won't change their color temperature with time starts changing ever so slightly.
The more you use it?
The more you use it.
It goes where? It goes colder or warmer?
It starts... getting a little bit warmer, but it starts changing colors.
So you're not even dealing with the cooler or warm spectrum anymore?
Cooler lights, I believe, change your finishes of your
home. Oh, they do all
the time.
People don't realize that.
Oh, they do, absolutely. And your CRIs all change that. The clarity of the actual light, what you're putting out, changes. So if we showed you a 3000K without... all higher, different CRIs, your finishes of your furniture, of your floors, your walls, your lower, they're all going to look different. So you went to buy this piece at one store and they have 5000K lighting and you're looking at it, you're like, okay, I like it. But now you're going into your house, you put it at 3000K.
It looks nothing like the way it looked.
No. And they're like, why is this happening? So now you have a disappointed client. So that's where I believe that between the contractors, designers, electricians, electrical suppliers should be trained and somewhat know. And if not, know enough to at least get the right person involved in your project.
They're trained by sales reps.
Yes.
That's what they're trained on, which is really unfortunate, right?
But there's some sales reps that I've dealt with that are extremely good at educating you.
Which is great.
They'll actually teach you what should be happening, what shouldn't be happening. Not just based on selling that one pall light or that one light that they value from.
Speakers and stuff.
Yes.
Do you like invisible speakers?
I do.
The sound?
Great.
Not as good as a surface mount.
Wall mount. Well, then you're right, but it depends on what level you go to as a speaker.
For the wall mount?
Yeah.
Versus the invisible?
Yes, because we've installed invisible speakers that sound phenomenal. Depending on what level.
Yeah.
So if you're putting in, so what happens is someone puts in a cheaper speaker in a wall or a contractor grade speaker in a wall and you compare it, the invisible is going to sound better.
It's true. Yeah.
So you got to put a higher grade speaker. You got to compare like apples to apples.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're doing that, then yeah, they'll sound better for sure. But And what happens is, with invisible speakers, it's more of a distributed sound throughout. So if there's an invisible speaker,
it's an atmosphere.
Exactly. So yeah. if we're having dinner and this is our dining room table,
we hear it in the background.
So what happens is an invisible speaker over my head, will not be directional on me. We can actually still have a conversation.
Yes.
That's a big difference. So it's not even just the fact that I don't have to see it. Two, I can actually sit down and have a conversation with you, and it sounds like it'll sound the same way as another individual sitting at a different side of the table.
Yeah.
Attention aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
So that's why I like them.
I agree with you.
Depends on what aspect. Depends
for,
where.
For atmospheric sounds, you want to just have an overall hum of something that's playing along.
The quality the whole sounds house, good.
That's they've, the point of it. But if you actually want to listen to something, you want to set up, I think, either floor or wall mounted speakers, proper speakers. They're going to cost a pretty penny. And then you can really appreciate that sound.
Absolutely. Right? I agree with you 100% for sure.
But clients just want, you know this, like, they can't get rid of things that, you know, are on the wall. Lack of a better term is wall acne. They don't want the receptacles. They don't want the speakers to be seen. They don't want the lights to be seen. They don't want to see anything. They just want wall.
So the whole point is of a lot of things with automation is tidying things up. So you are eliminating your 4-gang or 5-gang switch bank at the front of your house or inside your bathroom. You're eliminating that to, say, a keypad.
Yep.
That takes away that the aesthetic of the wall becomes completely different. Like I said, they try to do a trimless recessed in the walls. It all depends on what you're using. Screwless plates, as simple as a screwless plate on a plug, makes a big difference.
But then now you've got the cheap screwless plates coming out, which I can't stand.
That like I said, that depends on your contractors. That depends on clients and budgets with everything. I spec them out in all my homes. So I automatically put screwless plates in
all my homes. Which brand do you go with?
I use the, I still use the Coopers.
Yep.
I like them. I think they look clean. They're fairly priced. And that's what I use.
What's the brand? There's a brand at Home Depot that has a square and they put three switches in one and it's got a little bit of a convex screwless plate. It's like this off-brand.
I'm not sure.
But I just don't. I mean, it looks nice. It's 5 times the price. It's getting a little bit of that European flavor to it. You know, European switches are more square.
So they go and there's...
They go curved, like they're bent.
Control 4 makes a plate like that.
Yeah.
That is more plate. I like them. They're a little bit more costly. Obviously, they're not going to want... A lot of people are not going to want to put that all over their house.
Because think about how many you got to count.
Exactly.
Right? It starts that up really fast.
Exactly. So it all depends on the brands. And like I said, I don't like bulky. I like minimizing. In my opinion, that's what I believe. And it depends on the home.
Yeah. Is it good that we're able to, like you said, you can take a switch and make it a command center now.
Absolutely.
And now all of a sudden you can control all those lights in that area. And now you don't have to worry about having, you know, like I laugh. I have to laugh sometimes when I go into homes, maybe 10 years or even probably, I'm sure that there are some McMansions that are being built right now in Markham where you walk into the front door and there's a gang of 10 light switches there. And I'm like, this is insane, man. Like, this is the best that we could have figured this one out. Yeah. So I laugh at that. But now it's, you know, the general was 3. You'd have your outdoor exterior light entryway into your house. You had your foyer light. And then you had the next 3-way that took you into the home.
Yeah.
That was your 3-gang. And that's what you did, right?
Yeah.
I like that now you have the options to start doing these command centers. Did you get a chance to see Tesla and Elon and his whole Optimus robots and everything? That you didn't see any of this shit?
I haven't seen any of it.
It's all over online right now, right? So he had all the robots serving, tending bar, all kinds of shit, and everyone, like, they're going to do all the tasks that you don't want to do. That's what these robots are going to do for you, right? Wow. And you're just watching this, and it's like, iRobot. You're like, going, this is ridiculous, man. Because my question is, like, you start changing your whole house to be one command center, and you have a command that you can control. So now as you have the control, your significant has the control, your children mm-hmm. have the control. Mm-hmm. If somebody breaks into your system, then they have the control. They can eventually, right?
As of now, it's extremely
difficult to do that.
It's essentially like trying to break into someone's online banking. These companies are not small companies.
Yeah.
They're big companies. They spend a lot of money
on... There's a lot of security now.
Huge security. Paying big companies to make sure that they're secure. Because that's the whole background. Why would you want to do it? If I was covered and I heard that someone was being able to get into my home, I wouldn't want that system. So they're investing a lot of money and a lot of resources into making sure that that is secured on the back end, that you can't hack into that
system. Has there been any, like, I've never heard.
Because essentially you can unlock the door.
Yeah.
You can turn off the alarm.
Yeah.
You could do all that. I opened your front door, say, come on in.
Yeah.
So that's not happening, though. That's not happening.
But then the fobs on all the vehicles, they're like...
Which fobs?
They're getting into the fobs.
They are.
Like, nobody has a Slim Jim anymore. I remember the days where that's how you broke into a vehicle.
Absolutely.
Not that I've ever done that.
Absolutely. Like I said, as of now, I don't hear anything about it.
Because they have to protect themselves.
There's no sense in a
Control 4 or any kind of manufacturer dealing with a good product.
Absolutely.
To make your life convenient.
Absolutely.
To have the freedom that someone else can break into that system and get in there, right?
Absolutely. It's like I said, you go online, you check your bank account. Think someone's just going to be able to go into your bank account and transfer money?
There's redundancies.
Exactly.
No. All they allow They'll you to do is launder. They just launder money from drug dealers and TD. That's what they do, right?
That's hilarious.
I love jabbing, man. What are some of the new things that are going to be coming in? Like home automation, home theaters. I'm not a fan of it because I rather go to the theater. But I've seen some really beautiful home theaters, and they try to get all the essence of a real theater, right?
I just get the feel and all the surround. But the
picture's
sound.
Never quite to the point I'm happy with. And then
the projectors. You have to be able to pick the right projector
for the size of the room.
For the size of the room, the right screen.
Yeah. There's because so many elements.
Screen makes a big difference as well.
But then you start going, okay, like, it's like you're buying a Ferrari and now you don't want to use Ferrari tires or Ferrari covers, or you don't want to use Ferrari leather. You start mix and matching to kind of offset the cost of the Ferrari. And like, you can't do that in a home theater. Home theater, like, if you want this projector, you need this screen.
Absolutely.
You need these speakers.
And exactly like you were saying about the speakers, you want that sound and that quality in that room? Well, that quality is going to cost you a lot more money.
Yeah.
Like anything else. Everyone wants to drive that Ferrari, but to keep that original Ferrari, it's going to cost that much. So it all depends on what you value. So if sound is big for... Some people don't care about sound.
In a home theater?
Some people don't... They do not...
Really?
They do not bring it to the level. They'll pick...
If I'm building a home theater, I want 7.1. I want to be sitting in the optimum seat. I want to hear all the sounds
exactly
all around me.
Not everyone's willing to pay for that. So a lot of people...
starts to add up.
And then I think that, one, it starts to add up. And two, I think it goes back to sometimes what you said when we first started the discussion. Look, I got a home theater. Okay, I got a home theater. But what does your home theater do?
Yep.
So, yeah, I can come... Take a look at my home theater that I never sit in, right?
It's true.
Or I don't care for, regardless. Yep. Maybe they care to show you, but that's about it.
Yep.
So it all depends on the individual. People that do value it and will listen to it will spend some money because they use it and they appreciate the sound and the quality of the video. Very simple.
If you're going to go down that road, you better go down that road.
I believe it is. I try to give all options, different options.
Yeah.
But like I said, you got to know your client. You got to really be able to feel out your client.
These days, John, like when you're talking about home automation, like I still know what it costs to do all the line items. I know what, call it a 3,000, 4,000 square foot house, I know what the foundation bill is going to come in. I know what the framing bill is going to come in. All the electrical plumbing. I have a very good idea what the numbers are. The X factor number is the home automation part.
Home automation.
Because that's infinity. It depends on what you really want. It's catered on the client.
Absolutely.
Right? It's you can future-proof a bunch of stuff.
Absolutely.
Get a lot of Cat 6 running through a bunch of walls.
Yes.
Get preparing stuff. Or you can go to full tilt and have, you know, minimum switch, perfectly integrated lighting systems, perfectly integrated speaker systems.
We've set up different systems for different homes. It caters to everyone's own needs and wants at the end of the day. And budgets and how much people are willing to spend. We've had clients that have all different types of budgets and some that don't even have a budget.
And they just tell you what they want?
What they want and what they're trying to achieve. I ask them the questions on based on what they're trying to achieve. Do you want to be able to control everything?
Yeah.
Because everything's your shades, your lights, your lighting controls, your TVs, all of it.
Here's a question for you. I'm a big candle guy. I like candles.
Okay.
Instead of putting sconces, does the code allow me to put a candle there, a wall-mounted candle? Or is that against fire code?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I'm not expecting you to know it, but I was just curious about it because I think for some stupid reason, because of the way the government is, they're starting to get rid of gas fireplaces. They're not encouraging wood-burning fireplaces.
I haven't touched anything like that. I'm not sure. I don't actually know the answer on that.
Because normally you'll get a sconce flanking a fireplace in a switch reticle box, right? So a rectangular box, not in an octagon box. Because of the designer, they want those... They want those candle-looking sconces.
So what do you mean by candle? You mean...
So my thought process is, why do you want a candle-looking sconce when you actually should just get a candle holder?
Put a wax candle. That's what I mean.
I think it would probably go against fire code.
It'll probably go against fire code for sure. Or you can place it as aesthetic. You're not utilizing
it. But what people don't understand...
Who's stopping you from putting a candle on top of your mantle? Nobody. Or stopping you from putting a candle...
Nobody's going to stop me doing any of that shit.
But that's what I mean. You're going to do it anyway. So it's not really about...
But I want homeowners to understand that the light coming from a candle is like the purest form of light that you can get. I ain't talking about scented, colored. I'm just talking virgin, clean, wax candle. That light color and how it cascades in that room, I have yet to see it mimic in an electronic device. And that's what I mean is I bet you any money if clients started seeing that, they would start factoring those in.
You got to start seeing the different color temperatures.
Oh, it's huge.
The different color
temperatures. Day one.
Back down to all the different color temperatures that we can adjust. At that point, then... They'd understand and value, like I said, the lighting industry, what lighting does in a home, right?
Are most homeowners aware that when they walk into a retail location, that light is generally cooler, and when they walk into someone's home, that light is generally warmer? Do they realize that?
I believe some do. I don't believe all do.
No, I think the majority don't realize it.
Well, they see a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are stuck up on the white light.
The blue?
The white light.
It's the nastiest light you can ever use.
4,000, 5,000
K. It's ugly.
You drive by a house and you see their outside pall lights. It's ugly. It's all white.
Ugly.
Changes the whole finish of the stone, the brick, all of it. It does not look right. It is not right.
No, it's ugly.
It's not right. Yeah. It defeats the purpose.
But somebody sold them on putting 10,000 soffit lights.
They actually believe that they like it. And yes, that's a whole other thing on where they're placing them. They sold them because they're charging X amount per pall lights. The more they can sell them, the more money they can make. Is it the right answer? No, it's not. It's actually unethical. It's terrible to do that. But
there's a house in my hood. It's not even balanced. So there's two sections, two planes to the house. One section has three windows separately.
Yeah.
The other section has two pairs of two windows. And they didn't even put the light in the middle between the lights. So one is slightly off-center and the other one is slightly off-center the other way. So I don't know if the installer was just stupid or blind or both or didn't give a shit.
laziness,
or there was a rafter tail stuck in the way. Right? I don't know. But it drives me crazy when I see it at night, because obviously the days are short now. And it's offset. It's like it just drives me. It's not just the two. Yeah. The whole front, they're all not balanced where they're supposed to be. In my opinion, there's too many to begin with.
It's unbalanced. Exactly.
It's unbalanced. But it drives me crazy because I don't look at the light at that point. I look at the cascade of the light, and it's not balanced.
There's such thing as less is more.
100%. But why is there a certain segment of the population, they just love adding a bunch of light, man?
I believe it's the electricians.
They just don't care. They're selling it. I'll sell 20 pots, make 20 pots price-wise.
They just don't even know where to place them. A lot of people are placing them over windows. You shouldn't be placing your pallets over windows.
And generally, they're cool, too. They start getting into the 4,000, 5,000 lumen range, and I'm like...
Exactly. Should not. I'd advise not to.
I hate it. I can't stand it, man.
Depending on what application.
I'm waiting for somebody to do some strip lighting in like asphalt driveways now. Have a runway down through the asphalt.
People are putting them in the stone. And
they're doing it in the stone, but I'm waiting for someone to take the quick cut and cut a channel. And then I'm telling you right now, John, I'm telling you right now, they're going to look at that strip lighting in the kitchen or whatever. They're like, I can put this in the asphalt. Yeah, okay. Put it right in the asphalt. Drive right over it. It ain't going to last.
No. You can put it. There are better, like I said, LED strips.
Yeah.
That you can put that they could drive over it.
But and do you want two lines on your side to your driveway?
It's all based on design. It's all based on design.
I don't know if I want... See, that's funny. I'm not a
puck. You got to have it. Can it look cool? Yeah, absolutely can.
Yeah?
I believe it can. In the right driveway.
But you know what they're going to do?
In the right home.
They're going to frame it. They're going to put a light in front of the garage. They're
exactly.
Going to put on the flank.
Because it's standard.
And right by the sidewalk.
Depending on the size of your place, yeah, you can make it look cool. I can make it so that when you pull in, the lights shoot together and follow you in. So.
Someone's asking for that?
You can do that.
Wouldn't you just put a bunch of series of like LEDs that go into an arrow right to the garage there, and then it just kind of blends right in, and it shows you which way to go?
You can do that as well, but I mean, it's all.
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Preference, and every individual is different.
See, it's funny. Inside the house, I'm not big on pucks or like lots of spots everywhere, right? I try to have, I have a more of a mindset of a strip where it's a cascade of light.
You're
right?
Saying so under, so like your kitchen counters and all
I don't want puck.
You're right. I'm not a fan myself.
I like a continuous.
Balance,
excuse me. Balanced light, right?
Absolutely.
But when it goes to the outside, I like little pools. Like garden lights.
So even your garden lights, they shouldn't be your garden lights. So say you're trying to light up, say you had all trees on that back, at the back of your fence lining up. They shouldn't be one at every single tree.
Nope.
That your lights completely covering each other.
Nope.
At that point, put one big floodlight and light up your whole back like a stadium. because it shouldn't do that.
It should be treated like a nightlight inside your house. Exactly. It's just an accent.
It's just an accent that'll, you know, maybe put four across 20 feet. That'll just kind of show you the dark spots too.
Yeah. That's what you want.
So at that point, there's some sort of, I don't know the term to use, but I mean aesthetic to it. There's something. There's value to it. It's not just completely lit like a stadium. Defeats the purpose.
Someone's going to ask you to put like strip lighting in the grass.
That hasn't happened yet. Not yet.
Then they're going to ask you to put strip lighting behind all the fence boards. You know, the gaps in between the boards, they're going to want accent lighting in there.
That's next. You know what? A lot of that accent.
I'm waiting for that to happen in Brampton. Everywhere. I'm sorry, man. It's going to happen in Brampton.
There's a lot of 4,000, 5,000 fixtures there.
For sure. There's going to be a container ship from China come in and be like, oh, look, our fence lighting just came in.
There is. You know what? You could do it tastefully. You know what? That's all preference.
It's the client, I know, but sometimes the client doesn't know. They don't. Sometimes they don't. They just see a picture.
They see a picture, they like it, they want to have it. At the end of the day, if that brings them joy and happiness, then sure, why not? It's for them.
Here's a question for you. I'll give you a scenario. If you've got a room, the ceiling is black. Okay, let's say this room is 12 feet wide, 8 feet tall. Let's go 22 so we can keep it kind of 1-to-2 ratio. 22 feet long. Ceiling is matte black. Floor is black. One wall is concrete. One wall on the length sides is concrete. So one long wall is concrete and one short section of it is concrete. One long and one short is wood slats.
Okay.
With black spaces in between. If you were to put LED strip lights and you go from the wall up over the ceiling and then back down on the other wall,
what about it?
How far would you need to put those to have enough light for functional task lighting?
Depending on the actual strip lighting that you're using, the tape lighting that you're using, there's ones with higher output lights.
Okay.
So I'd put a higher lumen output because of the darkness,
of
the block. Yeah. And at that point, we can dim down.
Oh.
Right?
So you can always dim it down.
You can always dim it down. Right? You can't make it brighter.
How high would you...
You can't make it brighter, but you can dim it down. You can
bring it down.
Always remember that. So at that point, if we have to dim it down, we can. And it depends on your mood. Depends on the room. What's the room doing?
True.
Right? Are you... What you're doing in that room.
No, you got a good point there. That makes a lot of sense. It's an exercise room. So that's why. Exactly. So if you exercise early in the morning, you don't want full blank,
airport lighting. But you might want, you still want some light. You don't want it to, you're exercising, you don't want to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't want to get blinded by it.
But in the afternoon or during the day, you probably have a full output.
And then, exactly. And then at times, it's your own preference too, because I might want it super bright. That might be me. You might not. You might want it halfway. True. So different people in the home are exercising in that room. Five different people, five different color levels of light.
What do you think the spacing would be?
In between?
In between each of the strips of light.
I'd probably say every 5 feet, six feet.
5 feet, yeah. That'd be more than enough output?
Yeah.
Because I've never seen that. I've seen it in garages. We all seen people going
ballistic in the garages
with a honeycomb pattern.
It all depends on, like I said, the output of the lights.
I like that. So you would get strip lights that are very hot, so you'd have a lot of power.
I'd put a high
and then put on a dimmer
for sure.
Yeah,
and I'd put on a dimmer or on a control system.
You could also put it on a funky color spectrum. No, and you could do a little
use an RGB,
a little doom doom
different
doom,
colors
doom right.
Little you could totally ball. Do that. Depends if you want to turn it into a club.
People asking for that shit. Mm-hmm. The color temp and then just the wheel and it just moves around and shit.
No.
Someone in Brampton is going to ask, man. I don't care.
For the LED tape lighting, for sure, though, different colors. Depends what it's for.
I think there's good things for the tape lighting. I think you just have to be really creative with it. You just
got to be creative and know how to use it.
I think if you can integrate it with your design, because I'm beyond the idea of just drywall surfaces. I'm more about like something has to be on that surface, whether it's a treatment or if it's a wood, but if or even a built-in or something.
Absolutely.
And you can integrate your lighting with that. So when you turn on the lights,
there's got to be detail, some sort of detail.
Yeah.
Or else it gets boring.
If it's just light,
it gets boring.
Man, I know.
So it all depends on your layout, the feel of the home. Like I said, I go based on that feel of that home. I try to understand, like I said, I try to understand the client. I try to see what, like I said, the contractor, the designer is trying to achieve. What are you trying to achieve? Yeah. When I understand what they're trying to achieve.
What's the purpose?
Then exactly. Then at that point, I can give my advice based on all lighting, on what you're going to achieve to get your end result.
Do we need a bank of recessed lights in the ceiling of bedrooms?
A bank of recessed lights.
Like you know, the standard.
Typically a pod light.
Yeah.
Should give you is your task lighting throughout, not your center fixture.
But do we need that task lighting in a bedroom? Because the only time that you're actually using that is if you're cleaning that room at night.
In a bedroom? I like it in a bedroom.
Yeah? But wouldn't like wall-mounted
Because what fixtures? Happens is what I'm seeing is a fixture, say your center fixture in a big bedroom.
Yeah.
15 feet long by 12 feet or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What kind of a fixture do you have to put there to get,
get light that far?
Yeah.
So you could do that with the pots. But I'm looking at John, like the way I look at it is you only turn on those pots to see the full blown of the room.
It doesn't matter.
But you have it.
Yeah.
Bathroom wise, dark. Everyone's putting lights in niches now, eh?
In the niche, yeah.
The strips.
Everybody. But it's something new.
I like it. My question is, most homeowners and designers don't think where the drivers are going to go.
Yeah, you can put the driver. You can put the driver
inside the shower.
No, in the cabinet.
In a cabinet somewhere, but it has to go somewhere accessible.
Yeah, in the cabinet.
But where?
Under the cabinet.
Inside. No, you can put it in the vanity.
I put it in the vanity.
Yeah, put it there, right?
That's where I would put it. Absolutely, and it's not far. You shouldn't go too far with the drivers from where the tape light is.
But at some point, like. In 5-10 years, all these strip lights are going to get replaced. No?
But that's like anything else.
Yeah.
So you can't look at that. That's
by what then I you'll be demolishing
it. By then you're taking it out and you're going to do another reno, right? Typically, how often do you do a reno? Do they say people do rentals?
Well, the stupid people, which is a majority of them in this country and every country and all over the world, they're doing them a lot sooner than they used to do them. They're doing them in less than 10 years now. They're remodeling kitchens in less than 10 years now.
So then that's your answer, right? They at that point, there might be something else out. There's going to be something else out.
They're dictated by they're tired of the appliances or they're tired of some sort of design component that they're like, we need to remodel now because I'm tired of this design idea. Yep. Or keeping up with the Joneses. So-and-so just got the latest light that's the backsplash or whatever it is.
Absolutely. Right? And they wanted to.
And they wanted to.
Absolutely.
Everybody's different. You should be building your kitchen for you, your significant other, if you have one, your kids, your pets,
your family, your family. You do it for your family.
Not for the publications or social media or all that crap.
I totally agree. That's why, like I said, asking the questions and getting answers directly from the client is a big part. And then dealing with, like I said, dealing with a contractor, dealing with a designer, work as a team, and you come up with a plan. One that's going to suit their needs, one that's going to suit their budget. Everyone's got a different budget. Everyone has different needs.
You getting clients asking for Lazy Susie garage floors or car lifts? Is that coming
up? Car lifts, there's quite a few people are liking the car lifts. They're just standard.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we just connect it, power it. But
do they take a lot of power?
I think they're like 30, 40 amps. I don't think they're that much.
That's a lot, no?
Just a 1 second.
You're lifting up a car.
1 second.
It's just for that.
It's not long. So you're not wasting a lot of power.
Have you been seeing a lot of inquiries into ADUs, the nanny suites and the multi units in the backyard and stuff like that?
What about them?
Are you getting a lot?
I've done a few.
So the idea is that you're running a tech cable from your main source
Absolutely.
Right to that, and that's what's powering that whole unit, right?
Yeah.
But you're getting a lot of clients inquiring about that. They want to do these things,
right?
We get
a lot of clients that do inquire about that.
Yeah.
Depends what areas.
I did one 4 or 5 years ago in Etobicoke there. Yeah, we ran a...
Even they've done their outside, like their garage.
Yeah.
above their garage, like a loft.
So but you have to run that power, right?
Absolutely. So
is it minimum 60 or 40 amp?
No, I like to bring 60 to 100. Just in case. 100 out.
Because if you got to factor in washer, dryer.
I try to bring 100. I bring 100 out.
100.
I bring 100 out just because of the cost is not much of a difference. I got 100 amps out away from the house.
But how do you get around ESA with the 100 amp when you've got a 200 amp panel, but they're not using 100 amps?
No.
So it's not, but it's there just in case.
It's not against code.
But how do you do it at the panel then? You're giving a dedicated breaker to that unit, no?
Yeah. I run the line there.
Oh, you run the line.
And I can choke it at 60. I can put the breaker size at 60.
Okay.
I could put the breaker size at 100.
What's the rule of thumb? 80%?
80%.
80%, right?
Yeah.
So if you're running a 60 amp or if you're running a 100 amp cable, you got a breaker at 60. You can use the whole
full. But you shouldn't max out what you have.
Yeah. But if you max it out at 60 on a 100 amp cable line.
Maxing out.
You're still below 80.
Okay,
yeah, you're still fine.
You're good.
Then the rest of the house could use whatever's not being used.
Exactly.
Three-way the world. These little puppies. I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Exactly.
You think people are going to start bumping up 200 amps?
No, not yet.
Not yet? I mean, people are getting pools, hot tubs,
so that's when it starts. At that point, it starts getting more because your pool takes up 30, 40 amps.
Yeah.
Your car chargers.
Yeah, that
are going up too.
Doesn't apply to me. Yeah.
I'm not a fan either, but that's a whole other conversation. But I mean, these are the things that are happening.
So yes.
You got to take them in consideration, right?
Yeah.
So now you have two car chargers, a pool. You have your nanny suite.
You can't run two car chargers and a nanny suite.
You got how much power do you
need? And the main house.
I never did the whole
under 200 amp. You can't.
No.
You can't have both cars charging at the same time.
No way.
Everyone doing their dry, like they're drying their clothes in the ADU. No,
that's a lot.
You can't.
It's a lot.
You'll max out.
You'll max out.
What happens at that time when you max out?
Just blow the breaker.
It'll just keep on blowing breakers.
You'll blow the main breaker.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. If they all tie in and reach over exceed,
it will snap.
It just blows it. That's the whole point of having the breaker.
How many times can a breaker break before you have to replace it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Clients don't think, they think they're irreplaceable. They're totally fine. No, they last forever.
Eventually, a breaker will go.
Yeah, it starts to go.
Yeah, eventually
it starts. And then you'll see it break more and more often.
It's getting weaker, right?
Yeah.
It won't handle it anymore.
You a fan of arc fault breakers?
Okay.
You can't run a vacuum, man.
That's the only problem.
That's a big problem when
I know.
You want to run a vacuum. I don't understand that. And I know it came from fires and bedrooms and shit like that. I get it. But
that's where the issue came from, right? So
you a fan of the electricians taking care of the heated cables of the tile assembly?
We do them.
But does it make sense that you... One trade has to wait for you to either get... We have to get the inspector.
That's anything.
Yeah.
It's the same way as roughing in a house. You can't board it until I tell you you can.
Yeah.
So...
But with the tiling, though, you have to install the cable, get it tested, get it inspected, and now start embedding it, and then you have to get it inspected again.
It's like anything else.
I don't agree with it. I think it should just be left to the way it was, where we would test it, we would have the numbers for it, and then you guys finish up the buttoning later on. The thermostat and everything,
right? It's all safety.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I like the fact that things are safe electrically in Ontario and Canada.
Yeah. I don't agree with, I think it's only Canada. You can't have a live receptacle inside a cabinet door. Cabinet.
Yes.
But that's, you're allowed that in all over the States, I think.
Different rules.
Different rules,
what we believe in. But I don't think it's a bad thing. Some people put their toaster in and something happens and it stays on and the cupboard's closed. Kid walks by, close the cupboard, there could be a
There's only one purpose for that plug to be in there. It's to plug in your rechargeable toothpaste or toothbrush.
No, people like putting their coffee machines
in cabinets. Inside cabinets?
In cabinets.
Plugged in already?
So once it closes, power turns off.
I don't do that. I do the toothbrush. That's what I do. So then it has to be plugged into charge, right? Yeah,
but nope. Should be, when it's covered and closed, should turn off. Safety. I agree with that rule, though. I do.
I'm not a toaster or a coffee guy. I'm just...
That's why your answer is like that's that.
I'm just using it for the purpose of the tooth. Right? And then I had a client who wanted to do it. We couldn't do it because they use water picks. So they wanted to have all the water picks plugged into the plug inside the cabinet. And I was like, I can't do this. And they didn't want to put the water pick on the actual vanity top and leave it there. Yeah. They wanted a clean top.
Yeah.
So then I was like, you guys figure this out, but ESA ain't going to pass this. Yeah. So we can't put that plug in there.
Yeah.
Right? It was simple as that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what I found out later is they ended up putting the plug in after. Once you pass...
That's their problem,
it's
right?
It's their home at that point. And you tell me that clients don't do that? They do it all the time.
For sure they do it all the time. They'll do it themselves. They won't even hire someone to do it.
Oh, YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can do it yourself.
Friendly electrician.
Exactly.
Channel.
Exactly.
Which pisses me off, to be very honest, man. Future-wise, what are you guys looking at, man? For the home automation for the world. Are we going to ever get to the point where it's George Jetson? We're walking in and we're just like...
I don't know
to
that level.
Lights turn on automatically. Music, play Bill Withers. Like, it's just like, is it going to be as you walk along? Is it going to be...
That already happens.
A disco floor. So as soon as you get into the home theater, you can illuminate the floor.
That already happens.
It's crazy shit, huh?
That already happens. So you can do so much with automation. It's endless on what you can do.
But then the problem becomes... If it's not done correctly, then there's going to be servicing issues later on.
That's with anything.
It's not done correctly because I find, for the most part, it came from the client wanting to bring the budget down. So they start eliminating critical things that shouldn't.
That's actually on the contractor that's doing the work.
They
should speak up.
Yeah. They should say, no, we need that component.
Using a better networking gear to begin with. That's your core. So eliminate a weaker network is going to give you future issues, right?
You ever going to see, is Cat 6 going to be the standard, or are we ever going to see like a Cat 8 or a Cat 10 or
keeps moving ahead.
Does it? But it's been Cat 6 for the longest time, no?
It's been Cat 6 for a little while.
Is there anything new? Like, is there another one coming down the pipe?
Just fiber optics.
So you're running fibers through the whole house?
People are doing fiber. I haven't done it, but...
What happens when a drywall screw goes through fiber?
It's the same thing as that happens when it goes through Cat 5 or Cat 6.
I just assume fiber is more expensive?
It is more expensive, absolutely.
How would you protect all the cables? You guys do conduits and things like that? Or are you guys doing chases?
Not in a home. How do you protect the cable in the home?
Yeah.
It's a good question. We're not running conduit in the walls, no.
No, it's just going to be too expensive. It's just going to cost
way too much money.
Yeah.
At that point, it's easier to cut the hole in the wall and fix it.
Do you ever recommend to your clients that there should be a conduit for future-proofing? If you have your main sources of home power, and I mean, let's say the electrical is at the front of the house, because normally the electrical panel's got to be within, 4 feet?
Within like a meter.
A meter from the entry point of the house, right? Yeah. And then you can come from the meter. But then sometimes they'll put the gas connection at the back of the house because that's where they want to park the furnace.
Okay.
doesn't it make sense to run a 2-inch conduit from it to go to the other source, so you're connecting all the mechanical systems of the house if you ever have to future-proof stuff?
You're saying being in the same room?
No, not in the same room. So electrical panels in the front of the house, the gas manifold and the furnaces in the back of the house. Should we have a chase between the two of them if we ever need to do something in the future? If you got to communicate with those mechanical components versus the electrical components.
Yeah, that's based on your spec or your house already. You already know what's in that room.
Yeah.
Can you put a conduit between? Absolutely. No difference in putting a conduit from your panel to your attic space.
Yeah, that's the other one too. I've done that one before. Bring it to the roof line, yeah.
And at that point, at least in the room.
You can fish to every single bedroom.
You can go to the whole second floor.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense, right?
So no difference than bringing over a conduit or a sub panel. Or if it's at the back of the house, it doesn't hurt to have a sub panel back there too, because then you can go to your exterior from the right from the back of the house.
It's a good one.
Right?
Yeah, makes sense.
So it all depends on what level you want to bring it to. Then this on what we can do. We can bring a sub panel to the second floor too.
Yeah.
And have that too. So it all depends on the home and what level the home is going to. But that's my opinion on it.
Whose panel do you like these days?
I use Color Hammer panels.
Yeah?
Yeah. Don't have an issue.
I remember Commander's not around anymore, right?
No, they're old.
But everyone, all the electricians, whenever they see a Commander panel, they're like, I can't get breakers for this thing.
Yeah, it's hard, and they're expensive.
And they're very expensive, and so you almost buy used ones, no?
You have to, and then at that point, it starts getting so expensive that you can just change the panel.
That's what the point, right?
At that point, just the cost of it is not worth it anymore. And the time you're going to spend to go find it.
Is it worth splitting the meter if you ever wanted to do a second unit or an ADU?
Is it worth doing
splitting
it?
Splitting the meter, yeah.
Sure, absolutely. It's through hydro. Just get another check meter.
That's it? Is it expensive to do another second meter?
It depends. It gets costly. Depends what expensive is. But yeah, absolutely. I would totally recommend doing that.
You ever get into the Jennies?
I don't do a lot of them.
But it comes up sometimes?
It comes up.
Okay. Well, we got to wrap it up soon, but I got to ask you the 12 questions. Anything else you want to share, John, before we wrap it up?
No, that's it.
What are you working on right now with Yvonne?
What am I working on with Yvonne?
What's the project on the go right now, or you can't say?
I'm doing a little bit of work with him. Yeah, I just don't want to have the discussion. I'm working on a small project, small door stuff.
How's our buddy Mikey? I haven't spoken to him in a bit.
He's okay. I haven't really talked to him recently either.
Okay. Did Yvonne eventually take a look at some of that stuff online? Mikey? I won't get into details on that.
He did, actually.
He did look into it? Yeah. And what was his thought?
He was laughing.
John Sink Electrical and Home Automation. John@sinkelectrical.com. Find him on Instagram on the two handles, @SinkElectrical and spelled C-I-N-Q. And also find him at 1222 Consulting, all the lighting and home automation. Who's got the best switches these days, man?
Light switches?
Yeah.
Again, preference.
It's all preference.
Good switch, but it's all preference.
Nobody's putting in a toggle, eh? Unless it's a furnace.
No one's using a toggle.
I'd love to do a rental where the client goes, can you give me all toggles?
No. With the old plates. Remember the old plates?
Can you get screwless versions of those happy faces? I don't think that exists, does it? There's no such thing as a screwless for that.
No.
There's no way.
No, I don't think there is.
A screwless toggle? No way.
I don't think it exists.
What is your favorite construction word or phrase?
Favorite construction word?
You know what, though? Europe, I do like the push buttons.
Do you?
I do. The nostalgia in me, I like those.
So you would like the keypads?
No, but that's like a mechanical push-in, right? The keypad is a dot. Like I still hate touching the query pad.
It's not on the touchscreen, on the actual.
Yeah. I'm just curious. But what is your favorite construction word or phrase?
Oh, construction word?
Or phrase.
Or phrase. That's a good question. I don't really have one. I don't know.
You don't have a favorite? What you like to hear on the site? Shit's done. What? I don't know.
Get it? Ah.
That ain't going anywhere. Every guy, when they do a ratchet strap and tie shit down, they always say, that ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that.
What's your least favorite tool?
Least favorite tool. A saw.
Any saw? What do you miss from your childhood?
Not caring about anything.
That's the same answer. It comes up quite a bit. What construction sound do you love?
Sound of a drill.
Going through like a triple LVL?
Absolutely. It's an auger bit.
With like 10 inches of space? Yeah, I know.
Right?
Favorite beverage?
Favorite. Alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Anything. Any favorite beverage. That's why I say beverage.
I like wine.
Okay. Red or white? Red?
Red.
Red? North American, European?
I like North American and European.
What turns you on and what turns you off in construction?
Passion. People who care about their business and not.
Simple as that. It doesn't cost anything to care.
Nothing.
What turns you off?
Attitude. Ego.
Favorite curse word?
Fuck. No.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Porsche.
Which one?
I used to have the Porsche Cayenne. I liked it.
The SUV? What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
That's a great question.
Well, where's your next career?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm going to be an electrician and home automation guy for the rest of your life. There's still room to do other things.
Maybe investments.
Getting into that world. Stay a little closer. What do you? What profession would you not like to do?
What would I not like to do? It's a great question.
Is there a job that you don't care for?
So there's a lot of things I wouldn't care to do. Like,
well,
I
which one?
I wouldn't care to, I don't know. I couldn't paint. I could never paint.
You're not a painter?
I'd be bored out of my mind.
I got Gary Mayers. He's painting his house right now. He's taking care of the honey-do list for the family. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates, John?
Come on in.
That's all he needs to say, man. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Glad that Yvonne connected us and got you on the show.
Absolutely.
I know you were a little nervous at first to get on there.
I was a little nervous, yeah, but
it's harmless, isn't it?
It was actually really simple.
We just talk shit. That's all it is, man. And I jab a few times at little things here and there.
A couple jabs are definitely entertaining. For sure.
It's all good. We got to get you back and get Yvonne back. And,
absolutely.
You know, it'd be funny if you get you, Yvonne, and Mikey. Holy shit, that would be...
Interesting.
That would be an interesting show. That would be an interesting show if we did do that. Maybe we try to do that and see if that happens.
Let's see if they want to do it.
Have you done a job with Mikey?
No.
No, eh?
No.
But Yvonne works with him.
I'm close with Yvonne, so it's fine. Yeah.
I was just curious. That's it. All right, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. We're out of here.